Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawksmith and Andrew Pichet. Still talking Penn State's blue-white game. And say what you want about the outcome or how meaningless it is. I don't really like that crowd that says the game doesn't mean anything. I think there's plenty to try to take away. And what you're really looking for, Andy, is not results, but symptoms, let's put it that way, and individual talents are worth watching. We mentioned wide receivers, and we ended up going defensive backs, cornerbacks, and linebackers in the previous segment. I want to actually circle back to the wide receivers, because my first big thought as you're watching Mac Hippenhammer do what he did, which was score a couple touchdowns, two very different touchdowns, one against press coverage in a red zone situation, one against off coverage where he just won the day.
And yeah,
a really good throw by Sean Clifford late. It's the one that you missed in person, but you saw a little bit later. But my first thought here was, okay, you thought you had, as a fan, observer, analyst, whatever, you thought you had this wide receiver position pegged, saying, okay, it's deep. I don't know what's going to happen necessarily with KJ Hamler, Brandon Paul, DeAndre Tompkins, when Justin Shorter arrives. Mac Hippenhammer wasn't a huge factor in my thinking, and I know it's just a spring game, but you can tell that he's probably been doing this behind the scenes for a while. And the thing that jumped off the page to me before we get into how you even begin to sort out how many guys Penn State has, because Cam Sullivan Brown looked okay in that game too.
Yeah.
Penn State's got a lot of dudes here, but Mac Hippenhammer, I saw it in high school where I think we talked about it, I'm sure, on this show a bunch of times, but his feet and his release, he looks like a veteran. So on that first touchdown, okay, even if the ball didn't come his way, he gets a clean release. He muscles past the defensive back, who I think was DJ Brown.
Yep.
So it was that step off the line, and then it was just winning at the break of his route. And everything about that route looked really good and really savvy to me.
He got that play was the one that I just happened to be lucky and was watching him, because he was clearly somebody that Trace was targeting. Like, Trace was kind of throwing the ball his way a little bit. He got off the line, which was the hard work, and then he turned the D back in. He turned Brown inside out with the move that he was wide open. And you don't get wide open. Sometimes it's by design. That was not by design. That was simply the savvy of him as a route runner. And, you know, Juwan Johnson obviously didn't play. Brandon Polk played some. You didn't see – you saw the younger wide receivers. And Justin Shorter's not even on campus. So what I saw at the wide receiver position, like I said in the opening segment, if you're playing regular, consistent minutes and receiving balls from Trace McSorley on a consistent basis, you have done something really special. Because I think it's going to be really hard I think they've got seven guys at wide receiver now. And maybe you add Justin Shorter and you give the number at seven or eight. Whatever you want to give it, there's only three spots out there. And you're going to use a rotation of about five, right? Do you think a good rotation number is probably four or five?
I think usually, yeah, but what you described on the defensive side of the ball, where they're going to recognize what their strengths are and cater to it, there's a possibility that they're talking behind the scenes that, like, we've got too many guys here.
They might package it
and match and come up with these unique packages.
Yeah.
Because each of them does something a little bit different.
Correct.
Right? So I think that they have an opportunity to maybe, you know, where they're trying to overcome inexperience at linebacker on that side, you overcome inexperience at tight end on this side.
They're going to try and hide tight end position. There's say what they want and talk about it all they want. They're going to have to hide the lack of productivity and, like, high-end talent that is healthy right now, that has been healthy, you know. What do we know about, you know, Nick Bowers and John Holland? We know John Holland had a good – John Holland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a good spring game last year. But he couldn't get on the field, and Mike Gesicki was playing, you know, at three-quarter speed. So that told you something. It told you something about Mike, and it also told you something about what they think about what's behind him. So I think they're going to have to hide the wide the tight end position pretty much in this offense. But that might be a good thing if you've watched the wide receivers through the course of this spring and watched them on Saturday. And knowing that Justin Shorter still is not here yet and will add another dimension to all of this, by the way. And if he was not coming, I don't think it would be like his arriving is only going to be a plus. It's not a necessity. It's
right.
It's not a we need to play this kid. It's, well, is he good enough to make us want to put him on the field? How crazy is that?
In my head, there's almost a sense of relief if he's not ready because
right?
in a weird way.
No, fine. We'll be fine. We've got seven guys I think that could play on a Big Ten field right now.
So Mac Hippenhammer, Cam Sullivan Brown, KJ Hamler, it's worth saying they're all redshirt freshmen. And they're going, you know, they're not going against John Reed, Amani Oruwariye.
Correct.
But they're going against guys who are in their same age range.
Yeah, they're
and they're winning the day. I think what we saw from Hippenhammer, there's a lot of legitimacy to it. Oh, I don't care. I don't really even care that he caught two touchdown passes. The fact that he found the end zone, whatever. But I think what you saw is legitimate, and that's just a pretty throw and catch from Clifford to Hippenhammer for the touchdown.
If you look at those three that you're talking about from Saturday, right, and you take Juwan Johnson, DeAndre Tompkins, and Brandon Polk out of the mix, right?
Yeah.
Could you see those three being the three wide receivers and lining them up, one at the strong, one at the off, and one in the slot? Could you not?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a
perfect world, Hamler in a slot, Hippenhammer on the onside, and Cam Sullivan Brown in Juwan Johnson's spot. Not that that would be ideal,
right,
but you could actually
picture
that.
They belong on the field there.
Correct.
Sure.
That's where they belong on the field, and that's what's the most interesting part is, if you look at it, in terms of however they shake it out, they have six or seven guys to go with as an option, and Justin Shorter hasn't arrived on campus. Wide receiver, hashtag strength.
Yeah, some of these guys. So it's interesting. You know, you have your big camp, Juwan Johnson, Justin Shorter when he comes, Irv Charles before everything happened with him.
Right.
You have your little jitterbug camp, the KJ Hamler, Brandon Polk. And what is hard to know what to do with is the guys who are in between there. And, you know, Hippenhammer and Cam Sullivan Brown, for example, were in between those things. I wasn't sure if they're true outside guys, true inside guys, a little bit of both, neither. I don't know. But what, you know, I think they solidified in my mind that they're legitimate perimeter threats. And I think Hippenhammer can play in the slot if you need him to. But I also see Jahan Dotson coming this summer. They've got a lot of different guys who are able to do a lot of different things.
Ricky Ronnie could end up being a mad scientist at the wide receiver
if he
position.
Wants to be.
If he wants to be, that's
sure
what I'm
he
saying. He has more at his disposal than he probably even knew when he knew he had guys, because obviously he was coaching the offense and was there. But did he really know, now that he's a coordinator, that he had quite this much to sort of figure out what to do with? And that's a lucky him problem.
Yeah.
It's better than, like, okay, I have to play this guy, and this guy. He doesn't have to play anybody. You got to earn your spot on the field, like I said, and it is going to be interesting to see which, you know, three, four, five guys are the ones who end up being the ones. And don't forget, they throw to the running backs, too.
Yes.
They throw to the running backs, so that's a factor. And it's all going to be designed to cover up for the tight end this year. And that's just going to be the way it is.
They've got the resources to do it. Nobody wants to be in that position. Nobody wants to mask anything. But Penn State has the option to do it. And you obviously didn't even see Tommy Stevens in any role at all.
Correct.
You know, you didn't see Miles Sanders. You didn't see that full on, you know, all the different components of the offense. So
I did see two running backs, though. We did see two running backs next to the quarterback.
We did see that, and that is interesting. That is interesting to me.
I think that's a Ricky Ronnie twist that he is, you know, if he had Saquon Barkley, then if you saw that, you'd be like, dude, I know that's a you thing, but don't do it.
I'm always
in this case, I agree with it.
I'm always curious schematically what is fundamental, what's going to last, and what is in gamesmanship. Because anybody can watch these spring games. You don't want to show anything that you might need later. So where does that fall?
That's a fundamental to me. I think that's a fundamental because they use the running back as a pass-catching option. So now they have a double pass-catching or a blocking and pass-catching option. I think that's just one thing that is a fundamental for him. And I also think it helps them because they're lacking at the tight end position.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of a cover. And they have, you know, Miles Sanders is clearly the lead candidate, but they have an umbrella of guys who are kind of all the same. So let's figure out what the kind of all the same is. And this is not a fundamental every single down, but it is going to be a regular part of their offense. And don't forget, you can put Tommy Stevens in there and do that as well.
Yes.
Ding, ding.
Hey, we got 2 minutes. You mentioned watching the offensive line closely.
Very closely.
I want to hear 2 or 3 conclusions. And I guess maybe that conversation probably starts with Michael Mennett.
It does.
Because we saw him a good bit.
Yeah.
And we had high expectations for him, and I think he met him.
Oh, I think he performed. I think that was the believe it or not, they say, well, the spring game doesn't matter. This spring game mattered more for Michael Mennett than any other player on Penn State's roster on Saturday. It was, he stayed healthy all spring. They gave him opportunity, right? Opportunity was presented to him, which is earned. And he had to, A, do his half of the bargain, which was work harder and get better and stay on the field. He did that. Then he got in the game and he performed really, really well. And it was his pass blocking was good. Backside seal on the run blocking was great. It was ridiculously good. It was fast, strong, accurate, precise, because he's so athletic. You're not going to get that from Steven Gonzalez. In other words, when Penn State's running left, the key block on that play is Michael Mennett sealing on the backside. Very, very good. I watched a lot of shuffling. I think we identified who the 5 best are.
Yeah.
I think it's Bates at left tackle, Gonzalez left guard. Center is
McGovern.
Right guard's Mennett. Right tackle is Chaz Wright. And I think Will Fries is the first one off the bench, and they'll shuffle. But they played a lot of snaps together. They moved the tackles in and out. You know, Chaz Wright came out. You know, Will Fries came in at right tackle. Then Bates swapped over to right tackle. Will Fries spent some time at left tackle. But what they didn't swap was the interior 3. And that is where their focus was this spring. And I think they found what they were looking for.
And I think it's interesting, Mennett, his mobility as a complement to Chaz Wright, who is not the most mobile guy on the line. All right, we got one more quarter to go here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Still talking blue-white. Get into the quarterbacks. Save the best for last, maybe. Coming up right after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all you can eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.